ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यसं ततो जयामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवतः सेवया भगवदुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं सुखमुक्तमृतद्रावसंयुतं पिबतं भगवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भवुकः. We have today two verses from the chapter 31. It's the last chapter of the fourth canto. Chapter is entitled Narada Instruct Prachetas. And verses 23 and 24. 24,
yes.
24 is... written on the board. I will read first 23, and then and there is short purport, so I will read this, and then we go to 24th. So text 23. Maitreya uvacha iti prachetaso rajam anyascha bhagavat katah Shrava itva brahma lokam yayo svayam bhuvo munih. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued, My dear King Vidura, Sri Narada Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, thus describe all these relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the Prachetas. Afterward, he returned to Brahmaloka. Purport. One has to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from a pure devotee. The Prachetas got this opportunity from the great sage Narada, who told them of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. So this verse takes us back to the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya, because this until that there was the conversation. Narada has been instructing Prachetas. And now the text 24. Tepintan mukha niryatam. Tepintan mukha niryatam. Yasho loka malapaham. Yasho loka malapaham. Harer nishamya tat padam dhyayantas tat gatinyayuh dhyayantas tat gatinyayuh. Te, the Prachetas. Api, also. Tat, of Narada. Mukha, from the mouth. Niryatam, gone forth. Yashah, glorification. Loka, of the world. Mala, sins. Apaham, destroying. Hareh, of Lord Hari. Nishamya, having heard. Tat, of the Lord. Padam, feet. Dhyayantah, meditating upon. Tat gatim, unto his abode. Yayuh, went. Translation. Hearing from Narada's mouth the glories of the Lord, which vanquish all the ill fortune of the world, the Prachetas also became attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Meditating on his lotus feet, they advanced to the ultimate destination. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here it is seen that by hearing the glories of the Lord from a realized devotee, the Prachetas easily attained strong attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, meditating on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord at the end of their lives, they advance to the ultimate goal, Vishnu Loka. It is sure and certain that anyone who always hears the glories of the Lord and thinks of his lotus feet will reach the supreme destination, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:65, Manmana bhava mad bhaktomam yajimam namaskuru mam evaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyasime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my dear, my very dear friend. One more time the verse and translation. Tepintan mukha niryatam yasholoka malapaham harenishamyatat padam dhyayantastad gatim yayuh. Hearing from Narada's mouth the glories of the Lord, which vanquish all the ill fortune of the world, the Prachetas also became attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, meditating on his lotus feet. They advanced to the ultimate destination. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Because this is the end of the chapter of the whole canto fourth, so I took the liberty of revising the content of this canto, because this is there are quite a few stories, very well known and very meaningful stories, but in short the beginning of the fourth canto we have the story of Daksha. Daksha, who means very expert, he will appear. He is appearing also. You've probably noticed in the Prachetas with the Prachetas pastime. But first appearance of Daksha is when he is what did he do to Lord Shiva? What is the proper word? He offended Lord Shiva, and then the whole pastimes of destruction of the sacrifice of Daksha, and Daksha as a punishment receives the head of the goat. Then we go to the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, very famous pastime, when Dhruva as a young boy also is feels insulted, feels angry because of his kshatriya spirit. He cannot bear the insult by his stepmother, and went to the forest, where very quickly, in 6 months, he has the darshan of the Supreme Lord by performing the penances, austerities, Then he gets the material and spiritual benefits. He gets the abode in this material universe, which never perishes. It's a pole star, and he resides there eternally. So then we have a short story about King Vena, cruel King Vena, who. It's a very meaningful story because it shows the power of the Brahmanas, how the Brahmanas, who in the society it seems that they from the material point of view they are not the highest, because they just beg, they are beggars and just do work for grains, not for money or nothing, but they are the ones who are to be the most respected. So they just, when King Vena starts misusing his power as a king, they just kill him by mantra, chanting the mantra hum. Just that's it. And then there is the story of the ideal king. After that, they establish King Prithu, who rules perfectly. He even at the point when Mother Earth refuses to produce grains because she says that the population is not so pious. So he chastises her and brings everything to the order. And then we have we come to this narration when it starts. Of course, Narada appears. Narada appears all the time. He's the transcendental traveler and a transcendental miscreant. He always does something to do the action in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this time there are descendants of King Prithu, and one of them is King Barhishat. So he is known then as Prachina Barhi. So he has the sons, 10 sons, and those sons are called Prachetas. And he sends them to perform austerities, and they meet Lord Shiva. And there is the first part about Prachetas when they meet Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva sings the beautiful song, a song of prayer to them, and they perform austerities for 10,000 years in the lake and chanting that song and have the darshan of Lord Vishnu. But then something happens. They come out of the lake, and there is, because there are no ruler. There were no ruler because their father just went to the forest. The whole earth is covered with the trees. So they get a little bit angry, and they burn the trees over the power of gained by performing the austerities. They have this power, so they burn all the trees. And to pacify them, Lord Brahma offers them the daughter of the Apsara, Apsara Pramlocha, and the sage Kandu. So, this is other pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam. All these Apsaras are all try to seduce the sages. So this one succeeded, and they had the daughter, but she left the daughter in the forest. So the moon, Chandra, raised the daughter. So they got this daughter as their wife. And from this daughter, Daksha appears again, because Daksha he didn't finish his business, because he was the expert. The Daksha means expert. He was expert in sacrifices, his service was to populate the universe. So now he appears again. He gets the second chance, now without the goat's head, just in a proper human body. And he continues, okay? Then in next cantos will be like Narada again is coming and messing with his service again, but that's later. So, and meanwhile, while Prachetas are doing these austerities in the lake, Narada goes to their father, King Barhishatot Prachina Barhi, and here the huge part, like 5 chapters of the fourth canto, are devoted to the analogy of King Puranjana. That's very, very powerful analogy. It's like if you have this section in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita about the soul. So to understand really what does it mean the hinos minyan hadeher, what does it mean to change the body? And in this chapter there is mechanics of how soul finds the body. It's called the city of nine gates. And then how the soul is acquainted with the intelligence. It's described as a beautiful woman. And what do they do? That's beautifully the mechanics of interaction of the soul and the intelligence is described very, very nicely. So that's like something to study on the topic of the soul. And then we come here again to the Prachetas. The last two chapters of the fourth canto are about Prachetas. They are ruling nicely. And then at the end, they go to the one place at the shore of the sea to perform austerities. And they have again the darshan of the Lord and go back to the spiritual world. So at the beginning of this chapter, it's the second verse probably. I will check. Yes, the second verse. It said that Prachetas went to the seashore in the west when the great liberated sage Jajali was residing. So she Radhagopinath ki jai. I wanted to ask you, have you heard the story of the sage Jajali? There was, because it's quite amazing story, so I would, if you haven't heard, I will relate. The story you can find in Mahabharata, it's in Shanti Parva, it's book 12. When in this parva, you know, the King Yudhishthir, all the Pandavas go to the back to the battlefield, and there is Bhishma lying on the bed of arrows, and they ask them different questions, and he answers them, and this is quite had a huge section, but there are very very interesting and subtle points of morality basically. So the story of Jajali is also like the have some few subtle points. So it's for those who want to read. This is like four sections from Shanti Parva. It's from section 60 from section 60 to section 64. The fourth section of this. So the conversation is about righteousness and duty. Okay, King Yudhishthir, of course, is the personification of righteousness. So he is naturally interested in the topic of righteousness and duty. So he's inquiring from Bhishma, who is like the authority. And one good point, it's because I use the Ganguly's Mahabharata, it's nice 19th century English. You can relish some nice phrases. Okay, so Yudhishthira inquires about righteousness and duty. So he makes one point, which is, I would say, subtle, that he says to the Bhishma, Bhishma says something about righteousness and duty, and Yudhishthir inquires deeper. And he says, you say that righteousness and duty depends on the, he says, delicate consideration that is indicated by the conduct of those that are called good. Means that we can ascertain what is good or what is righteousness by following the or looking at the example of those who are righteous or good. That's one point. But then he says, and it's also indicated in the Vedas. Okay, but then he says, okay, it's like that, but that's intelligence. Intelligence. He's putting all his intelligence into inquiry. So he said, but we know that duties of the different ages, like Krita or Satya Yuga, Treta, Dvapara, Kali, are different. And he says practically in Kali Yuga the righteousness and duties they don't exist. So how we can say what's the righteousness and duty? That's one point. And then that sometimes we see that some people do some things that seem righteous and the effect is opposite, or and also the opposite. Some they seem to do things that are unrighteous and it's the effect is different. So he says it's very difficult. He says the course of duty is finer than the edge of razor and grosser even than a mountain. So means that it's very difficult to ascertain what is duty, what is righteousness. And he says that even that he suggests that those the real knowledge about this righteousness and duty can be known only by those who studied it from ancient times. And Bhishma said, okay, that's very good points what you are making. And in relation to this, I tell you the story about Jajali. So he says that the, there was once a Brahmana named Jajali. He was performing the severe penances and austerities. And at certain point, he came to the seashore and then went into the sea, and then he was, it is described that he was staying underwater for many, many, many years, but at the same time, he was with the speed of the mind traveling all over. He visited all the places on the earth, and he visited all the other places in the universe. So it means that he gained such a power, mystical power by his austerities, that staying in one place, he could easily be everywhere. So, he, at certain point, he felt, he thought about himself, I'm quite good. I'm here and I am able to do this. So, I must have achieved something. And at this point, of course, the voice from heaven appears and says, oh, Jajali, don't think like that. There is one man, his name is Tulandhara, who, and even he, O best of regenerate person, is not worthy of saying such words as, such words as thou sayest. So, someone else appeared, and Jajali is now perplexed. So he decides to search for this Tulandhara. But here, Yudhishthir, again, he says, wait, dear Bhishma, tell me how it's possible, what this Jajali did, in fact, that he was able to achieve such results. So we have the again story of Jajali and about his previous penances. So it's not only, and you will see these penances are quite, and austerities are quite serious. And then we can appreciate bhakti yoga process of honoring prasadam, dancing and singing. How simple and easy it is. Okay, so that Bhishma said that before Jajali came to this seashore and performed these austerities, he was staying in the forest, okay? And he was doing different things. So that's really, really hard labor that he was doing. So he and the result of this, he was blazing like a sun. So in autumn he sat in water, okay? In summer he exposed himself to the sun and the wind. He used to sleep on diverse kinds of painful beds and also on the bare earth. So he stood in the forest like a post of wood. Okay, and so this he did different these austerities, like not moving, and it's described that his hair was disheveled. It's here that became entangled and intertwined. Yes, intertwined with one another. So they were. He had a big, huge pile of hair on his head. While he was performing this penance of staying like a piece of wood, so not moving an inch, the pair of birds made a nest on his hair, and he knew this. But he noticed this, but and he moved not. It says he noticed it, but he moved not. And then, after some time, the bird laid eggs. Okay, so he was aware of all this, but it says he moved not. And then, after some time, the young birds just came out of the eggs. And he also noticed it, but he moved not. So it was like a month ago. And then, after a few weeks, the birds started to learn to fly. Okay, so they flew to the tree and came back, but he moved not. Then the birds flew for the whole day, but he was waiting. And then at the evening they came back, so he moved not. And then those young birds, they were flying for a few days, but he moved not. He was staying. And then the birds left their nest for the few weeks, but he moved not. And when the birds finally, after a month, they didn't come back, Jajali was again. He thought highly of himself, so and became filled with delight. Okay, so he gained some merit, but he felt also good. And it is said that he slapped his armpits, armpits. So when you do this, so this is the sound. So he was doing like this out of joy. So I gained something. So he was joyful. So yogis are not necessarily not sad, but depressed. Okay, they are joyful when they achieve something. So he was doing like this. Okay, and he was enjoying that he gained something, and then. We have in the story that again the voice comes from the sky, that thou art not equal, O Jajali, to Tulandhara in point of righteousness, possessed of great wisdom, that Tulandhara lives in Varanasi. Even he is not fit to say and to do what thou sayest, O regenerate one. So that this time or. That's the story goes forward. That so he, in fact, because he was yogi, he achieved something, but he was not highly elevated. He was not like having darshan of the Lord. Let's say, it says that Jajali became filled with wrath and desires of meeting Tuladhara. So he went to Varanasi, and as soon as he came to Varanasi, he started to ask about Tuladhara, who is, where he can find him. So he met one shopkeeper who said, without doubt, O Brahmana, it is known to me that thou hast come to me. So it appears that this shopkeeper is Tuladhara. And he said, I know why you came here. You heard this voice from heaven who directed you to me. And He said, yes, you were in the forest and those birds had the nest in your hair. So I know, and you came to me. So how can I serve you? Tell me, what wish of thine I shall accomplish, O best of the Brahmana. So Tulandara seems to be quite highly situated, although he is a shopkeeper, not doing, you know, the penances or austerities. But Jajali is a joyful yogi, but he's also intelligent. Yogis are, has to be intelligent. Anyway, if you do such a penances, so your mind wanders here and there, so you get some thoughts. So he's intelligent, and he said that, okay, you are selling these juices and scents, and he calls him, oh, son of the trader, okay, son of the merchant. You are here, you just sell spices, and how you achieved such a high level, which I achieved by such a severe austerities. Tell me all this in detail, he says. He wants to know detail. So, Tuladhara seems to know the secret. He says, I know morality, which is eternal, which with all its mysteries. Okay, it is nothing else than that ancient morality which is known to all, and which consists of universal, and that's the secret. This consists of universal friendliness and is fraught with beneficence to all creatures. So the basically he explains that his practice is, he calls it a total harmlessness towards all creatures. Okay? So he says this is the highest morality. So we call this ahimsa, not causing violence. So he says this is the secret of all morality. When you perform ahimsa, you can elevate yourself to the highest level. And he elaborates on this, but because they are, as everything and everyone in certain environments. So, and Jajali is quite intelligent. So he says, okay, and this is my favorite sentence here. He says, okay, you say not that ahimsa, not to harm anything, but this is really good sentence. He says, "Thy doctrine smack of atheism." Smack, you know the word smack means like taste. Thy doctrine smack of atheism. It's nice, and I like the word smack. You can use the smack in different ways. Something smacks of atheism. Okay. So he says, okay, because you said that you do not harm to any living creatures, but this, he says, closes door to the heaven. So how? In what way? Because the Vedic cultures is based on sacrifices. So if you do not harm, you cannot offer and sacrifice anything, because everything is living entity. And the sacrifices also included animals. Of course, when you were sacrificing animals, the obligatory mantra you whisper to the ear of the animal you are sacrificing is, this life I am killing you, but the next life you will kill me. So that's everyone who was doing this, he was aware that this is the you know, the law of karma. But anyway, so Jajali said, okay, but this means that you stop sacrifices. How can it be? The sacrifices, we know from Bhagavad Gita, this is the described how sacrifices, offering of food, pleases the demigods. Demigods send the rain, and that's how the material world works. So, but Tuladhara said, O Brahmana, I am not an atheist, okay? I do not blame sacrifices. He said, okay, sacrifices can be done, but the sacrifices can be done without doing harms, that we can offer in sacrifice the herbs, fruits, and roots, only this. And then Jajali says, okay, yes, it's okay, I agree. This is the very high doctrine, and he accepts this, and starts to practicing. And at the end, of course, at the end of the story, Tuladhara and it is said that they both sported in the great happiness and ascended to heaven. Okay, so this is the story of Jajali that is mentioned in the beginning. So this story is connected to the story of Prachetas, because Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't it's the essence of the Vedas, okay? So it doesn't mention anything by chance. It's not the chance that this is mentioned, this Jajali. Because we can see that through this story, the Prachetas went to the seashore when this Jajali was performing austerities. But they focused, because Narada instructed them, and they focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they immediately achieved the highest results. Okay? Why the Jajali had to perform the other austerities, etc. So that's the difference. Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out directly the goal, directing us towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately. Okay. I'm not sure about the timing. What time do you usually finish? It's now time to finish, or it's time to finish now? Okay. Do you have any questions or comments regarding the story of Jajali, or regarding the ending of the fourth canto? Yes. Yeah, the fourth canto, it's like it's the because up to 9 we have the discussion of the descendants of Svayambhuva Manu. Okay, that's the 9 cantos, and the fourth canto would be, I would say, the beginning of the surrendering to the Lord, because then we have protection, okay? Then begins the protection of the Lord. But this is the beginning of the surrendering. The down of the surrendering, I would say, because all these stories tell us that all the characters in the stories described in fourth canto, they still make mistakes, okay? They do something and they are being corrected, like Daksha is being corrected by, you know, having the head of the god Dhruva. He's lamenting, in fact, because he got the blessing of the Supreme Lord, but he's lamenting, why I wanted this kingdom, why I wanted the kingdom greater than my father. So they still do something which is not pure. And prachetas, they come out from the lake and they feel wrath, they feel angry, they burn the living, other living entities. King Prachinabara, he also, when there is a story of King Prachinabara, he shot King Puranjana. So King Prachinabara, he hears the story. And then after he hears, and Narada is explaining quite nicely to the smallest detail about even how the soul changes the body, okay, and how receive the new body, and how by association with the devotees you can get bhakti. And after hearing this, King Prachinabara, he said, I'm sorry. It's quite a long narration, but he said, I'm sorry. I am too materially entangled. I don't understand. Really. And then Narada explains in detail the meaning of the allegory and gives the one more allegory, very simple. He gives this picture of the deer with a family who is he's grazing somewhere in the forest, and behind there is a hunter, and in front of them are wolves or tigers. And explains, this is the position of the living entity. We are not sure when the death captures us, and we should focus immediately on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because otherwise we waste our life and we will get another body and then another body, because this is the verse from Bhagavad Gita, a state of consciousness, what you remember at the time of death, that the next body you will achieve. That King Puranjana, from the allegory, he thinks about his wife at the time of death, so he's born as a woman next life. So King Prachinabara says, aha, now I got it. And he immediately, that it is said, he immediately, without even waiting for his sons, Prachetas, come back, he just leaves the ministers, the instruction, and he immediately leaves to the forest. Okay? When he understood, it was immediately, he knew, now it's time. Okay, does it answer your question?
Like, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakura is talking about Samkhya and about all these abstract things, and then it doesn't make sense a lot of it. So then in the fourth canto, it's through the story of Gretchen that's being illustrated in the story.
Yes.
And then Bhaktivinoda talks about the yoga, he explains it philosophically, and then the story of the Dhruva, like you're saying, they actually show this way.
Yes. Yes, yes, it's also like that. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
As Prabhupada has asked many times about, you know, the surrendering process, I mean, often this is because somebody asked me how long does it take, and then it says, well, it should just take 1 second. So I just wanted to explain that the Prabhupada says it just take 1 second
before. Yeah, it's like that. It doesn't take long. It's really it's like with some mathematical problem or equation. When you understand, you may struggle to understand. All the philosophy is just for us to surrender to Krishna. When you understand, it's just the surrendering process. That's unless we understand, it takes time to figure out what is this. Like with this mathematical equation or something, you may try this way and this way. But when you understand, it's how much time it takes to understand. No time. But you may try to understand or prepare to understand and listen to the theory how to understand for a long time until you understand. But the very act of understanding it's very quick. Yes, graduate process which leads you to this point of understanding. That's the graduate process. If you could understand at once that you are not this body, and that's it. Yes. But that's the point. We cannot understand this. We have to work it out. How come that I'm not? It's difficult to understand. It's really difficult to understand. But when you understand, you are happy. You are not this body. It's nothing more clear and nothing more logical. Okay. As long as we are in the material world, we are tatashta shakti, okay? We are in the influence or material energy and spiritual. As long as we have material body, we may. Okay. But that's as long as we have material body. Hare Krishna. Oh, you mean about the story of Jajali? Oh, the Tulandara, yes. What did he do? He was practicing ahimsa, harmlessness, non-violence. And that's how he achieved the same results as Jajali, who was practicing severe penances in the forest. He was just seller. He was selling different articles in the shop. So he wasn't practicing any physically, not practicing, not exposing himself to the austerities, but he was practicing like the way of behaving, or way of, it was like the mental attitude, not to harm, not to, he is explaining he's not envious, he is not thinking badly about anyone, it's also mental attitude. Okay, so that's what he was doing. He was thinking about every living as a friend. It's like this verse from Bhagavad Gita that sage sees everyone equal. He sees everyone as a soul, as a friend. So that's what he was practicing. Any other questions? Yes.
How do you understand by the use of body that you
understand? By, one more time, by the use. By the use of the body.
The body is thinking, moving, doing, the activities are there, thinking is there. It is coming from material mind. By the means of the body, of the same body, by using the same body, understanding you're not this body.
Okay. Yeah. That's by studying Bhagavad Gita. I would say you can understand this, because it's explained that in fact there are just by philosophy, by mind, which is also material. But when Shastra speak about the body, we have to remember this is not only the gross body. Body means subtle body as well. So it's explained that there are three doers, okay, in the body. In fact, it's not one doer, even we are not only one. It's said, okay, we may be one doer. We are one doer as a soul, but only what we do, our action is to desire, okay? That's one doer, which is in the body, okay? The second doer is the Supreme Lord in the form of Parabrahma, who sanctions this, okay? According to our karma, according to our capacity. So this is the second doer. And the third doer, of course, is the material world, the modes of material nature. So the three doers. So by analyzing this, you can understand. So it's, you are using the body, you are using the mind. So by analyzing this, by remembering, by contemplating this, you can understand that that you are not the body, because you are not doing anything. Okay. Does it answer in some way, or you want to go deeper? Karma, yes. 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 But it's that's the point of Bhagavad Gita, that it's subtle point which has to be understood, that in Bhagavad Gita there is explained the way of karma, first, third chapter, and then jnana. Okay? And then it's the Arjuna's case. He's perplexed. How come? He says to Krishna, I have to do something or have to understand something, okay? He cannot understand that karma and jnana are not different. And then Krishna explains, okay, buddhi, intelligence, use buddhi yoga. Buddhi yoga means karma and jnana together. That's a very subtle point which we have to catch, because it's like the connection, okay, that you do activities but with intelligence. Okay, what does it mean? You do activities but you remember that these are activities for Krishna. Okay, and then there is this differentiation, sakama with the attachment to fruit, or nishkama without attachment. But the point is, there is no distinction. Karma and jnana go together, and then by practicing this buddhi yoga, but you get the realization that you are not the body, but only by practicing. But you have to understand that you have to practice karma and jnana. That the only karma is not enough. Sorry. You can do, but you have to make also, you have to use also intelligence. You have to connect your activities to Krishna, to the Lord. And then, and only then, It makes work. Because otherwise, what are we doing here in the kitchen, for example? We are cutting vegetables and washing pots and cooking. How many restaurants in the world are doing the same thing? Millions. Okay. But are they getting the spiritual benefit, all these cooks? No, even if they are vegetarians, okay, vegetarian restaurants, okay, thousands. They not, because they are doing action, okay, the karma. They may get some piety in vegetarian restaurants by not killing animals, okay, but they don't get a spiritual benefit because they don't use intelligence, they have no knowledge that if they connect this to Krishna, if they cut potatoes with the same knife and using the same hands, but for Krishna, that's buddhi yoga. It's simple. They connect this to Krishna and they get spiritual benefit. Without this, they can do this for the last of the, you know, day of Brahma, and nothing happens. But we, one life, like Prabhupada said, we cut potatoes with intelligence for Krishna and we are out of the prison house. Hare Krishna. I wish you all this. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.